developers are always on the defense. Ah, nah, it will fix itself. Or, you know, it works on my machine.
Make customers go away and company lose money also. And it's a reality. Eh?
We call it a curse because nobody wants to see the system crash, obviously. So we wanted to break the curse.
We stayed in office for 45 hours straight, you know, and I needed to go on a vacation that weekend.
Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed. My name is Richie and I have another episode from the TestCon 5 conference from Mauritius. My guest today was Rao Daligaru, and we talked about slow systems and what they really cost. Why users walk away after 5 seconds, how a 70% alert helps you act before the crash, and what 45 hours in a war room do to people. And now enjoy the episode. And one more thing before we go on. Over the last 25 years, I've seen a lot of testing projects. Some went great, some went sideways. And the difference was rarely the tooling. It usually came down to a handful of things teams got right or didn't. So I sat down and wrote them up. 7 success factors for software testing. It's a free ebook and it's now available in English too. And it's not just something to read on the couch. It's a workbook with exercises so you can check where your own project stands on each factor. If you want to have a look, you'll find it on tul.fm/ebook. The link is also in the show notes. And now have a good one and enjoy the episode.
Hi Rao, great to have you on the show here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and talking to you, Rishi.
Yeah, it's great. We are here on Mauritius, the TestCon 5 conference.
Yeah, it's already 5 years now in a row that they're doing it, and that's great. I hope you're also enjoying the island and the...
Yeah, it's great. It's always good if you can combine business with pleasure. And so I like it very much. And I think you have a very active community here on software development and software quality. So it's
yes, and especially I work for Rubrik Quality Consultants, and we've been here for like 17 years, and we are a company specialized in delivering quality assurance.
Yeah.
Now we do have a Rubrik Blue, which caters for development and ITSM, Jira management services, ticket licenses, etc. But we are mainly focused in delivery quality assurance, automation, performance, all of the different clients.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and there you gave the trigger word performance, because yesterday you had also a talk here about performance and slowdown systems. So let us get into the topic. What is the problem statement you had?
So mostly we've known there have been some huge outages recently, AWS having... it's down. Like, we know about the 404s when systems completely shut us down, but we wanted to focus also about there is an impact when systems are actually slow. People walk out of the door, especially in the modern age today where there is multiple applications to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you use an application and you just log in and it takes more than 5 seconds, you'll be like, it's too slow for me. Get rid of it, take something else. So slow system make customers go away and company lose money also. And it's a reality.
Yeah. I think it's very, very driven also by the mobile apps and all the stuff, which is so fast, and you click on the app and it's there and it's working. So we are so used to it, to have a fast system. And if a website or something like is very slow, it's not
usable. We've taken some good example yesterday about slow system and how much money they lost. It was an outage, I think, 2 years ago for YouTube and Azure. So combined, it was more than $70 million US.
Yes.
Just for a slow system. They weren't down, they were slow.
Yeah.
So that it's quite an impact.
Yeah.
And you need to take that into consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a real issue, I think, for a lot of companies. So what can we do about it? How to avoid that.
so our talk was focused on that yesterday. How can we break the curse? We call it a curse because nobody wants to see the system crash, obviously. So we wanted to break the curse. So we wanted to prevent the end user from experiencing 404. And how do we do that? We came up with a 70% threshold. So if your CPU or the monitoring system sees things going above 70%, and we take note of it, right? Mm-hmm. Then automatic alert that kind of gets into place. We use monitoring tool. We're partners with Datadog, so we showed Datadog yesterday. So as soon as the system hits over 70%, it automatically gathers all the information, all the impacted DBs, queries, API, endpoints, network layer, collects all the evidence for you, automatically creates a ticket on Jira maybe, and GSM, with all that information, and then human can validate if it makes sense to look into this or if it was a one-time thing, and then we start with the testing process because we are testers, right?
Yeah.
If you want, I can go through how the solution.
Great. This would be very interesting.
So once the ticket is received, somebody validates the ticket, kind of. Is it real? Yeah, there's a threat. Because as soon as system goes above 70%, it becomes very, very slow until it crashes, right? So first things, as a tester, when we get a bug, we need to recreate it on a test environment. And that's what we do is, again, with performance. We try to replicate the same performance issue of the production into the testing environment. Once we manage to do that, we get the dev involved. Now they start fixing. They know exactly where the problem is because we use Datadog with its AI to analyze the data and even provide solutions, how to fix. It's all in the ticket. So the dev can make an informed decision based on those data to fix it. Once they fix it, what do we do as testers? We retest it. We make sure that that problem is gone. And of course, do some regression of all the other functionalities, make sure it is not broken. And then we release to prod. It's simple.
I think when I think of performance and something like that, and I have an issue in production and we have this threshold of 70%, how do you get managed that it can be replicated on the testing environment? Because usually there are much more or less resources or not that scalable like a production. How do you deal with that?
Normally we try to get the performance environment, testing performance environment, as close as possible in terms of resources to what you have on prod. But that's not always possible, like you say. But then you can scale up, you know. You do 50% of the resource and then you do 50% of the load that is actually happening on production. And with, you know, everybody is using a cloud-based platform today. They already provide monitoring. Why Datadog? Right? Why are we adding another tool on top for monitoring? Because that specific tool, for example, they give you insight in very depth. You know, you know exactly which database queries is causing the issue. You know exactly which API endpoint is causing the issue. You know, so when you try to replicate that, you're not just, let me try and load the system and hope I can recreate the problem. You know exactly where you want to do that. And that helps in terms of resources not being as prod resources.
I think the crucial part is to get the right information. What is the problem? As I said, which query, which API call? Because when I have a performance issue, usually there is a lot of things going on in the system, and to get the things done out of the system, which really causes the problem, is the main issue, because we have gigabytes of log files and all this stuff and data going around. So what's the main part to get this information out that it's really on point?
That's where AI is really helping us these days. With Datadog, it's just monitoring tool, listeners at every endpoint of your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Of course, you need to really understand your infrastructure, yeah, and how it's built. And the listeners there do one thing. Now they have something called Bits AI. That's for Datadog. Mm-hmm. That really gets into those details when they're monitoring. Mm-hmm. Well, how many times this was hit, how many times the other import was hit, how many times those things was done. So they gather those information, mm-hmm, which would take a human to look at the monitoring and try to analyze hours to do that. Mm-hmm. That's where AI is helping us to really pinpoint where it is. Mm-hmm. Of course, I told you, we need the human touch because they don't know what is happening on that day. Maybe we were forcefully doing something on prod, which we never do. But they would know if it was an abnormality or it was, we were not expecting that to happen today. Yeah. And then you get that precise information from Bits AI there that is that Datadog is using, gathering all the possible information for you, time, etc., sample queries and sample ways of how to fix your code.
That helps a lot for the bug fixing too. Yeah. Well, what are typical causes of these performance issues you had when you see, okay, the threshold is there and you get the analysis? What are the typical ones?
So based on experience, I would say most of the systems that I saw having issues with performance was really DB queries is one of them, because the load of data that is required today and the amount of data that needs to be extracted. Now we are moving in a world of big data also, so the queries needs to be really optimized. I think that's where most of the things that I've seen. And scaling up, that's the second one. When you look at the infrastructure, also how the system is built, how everything is connected, many times also the load balancer, when there's too much load, does it work perfectly? Mm-hmm. And those are the three main, causes of performance issues.
And when you have a lot of experience in this topic. When you compare it now, the process now from the alert until bug fixing and re-releasing, redeployment, do you have a percentage by thumb, how long does it used now compared to former times when you don't have the AI support?
Previous time it was always we get involved when our customers would be calling us. Hey, yeah, the system is down. Right, okay. That's where we want to get away from, right?
Yeah.
And if people wanted to do some proactive things in the past, the human intervention, as soon as you see something not looking well, who is the guy on call today? Yeah. Let's call him. He takes 10, 15 minutes to come in, you know? And then, let me look at the data. Let me analyze it. That takes an hour, half an hour, depending on how complex it is to try to do that. And okay, now I need, I've gathered information. I need to create the ticket, or I need to put all those information into one email, you know? Yeah. And that takes much time. There's human error in place, etc. And then now you need to contact the team. And, you know, developers are always on the defense. It will fix itself. Yeah. You know, it works on my machine. So it used to take longer back then. But with automated process like this, I'm saying again, human intervention is important in that flow. We can't fully trust everything that the data is giving us. We need to double check to make sure, because we are also investing time into fixing and a team needs to fix, right? Mm. There's developers' time, there's testers' time, there's infra time, etc. So it has been reduced considerably with this kind of tool in place. We have AI also helping with the performance script, you know, JMeter script. So all those things contributed to maybe reduce. It would take 1 month or 2 weeks to analyze, to be proactive in the past, to maybe one sprint with modern technology.
Yeah, and as you said, I think the big advantage is that you don't let the customer find the issue, you find it by yourself, by monitoring.
Because there's a human aspect in it. I've been in one of the banks in South Africa, I don't know what I mentioned, a famous one. There was a downtime there, right? Mm-hmm. We stayed in office for 45 hours straight, mm-hmm. you know? And I needed to go on a vacation that weekend. Yeah. So the human aspect, we suffer when we're not proactive and being reactive, you know? Our time, our family time, ours, the kids performing in school, we're not there, family going on holiday. I cannot. The stress in that war room was epic. You know, the CIO walking at around 1 p.m. in his shirt.
Yeah.
He was more relaxed, but everybody was. And then one total silence, and he was like, "We cannot afford for the system to be down furthermore."
Yeah.
But it still took 10 to 15 hours after that. That cold talk to get prod up again, and we want to remove that stress. That's what we want. Better experience for the end users. In a perfect world, they never see the loading spin or the 404. That's why we want to at least try to get it.
Yeah, great. It's a good story that reflects really the pain and also the solution.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Raoul, thank you so much that you were here in the podcast show and that you shared this experience. I hope that a lot of people now think about their performance in the system.
Exactly. With competition, your system needs to be flawless kind of these days, especially in terms of performance and human usability and the experience from the other side. You know?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Thanks so much again for the opportunity to talk about this again.
Yeah. Thank you. Your contact details will be in the show notes. So if anyone wants to contact you, I'm sure you're open to that.
Always. Yeah, we can. If you have any more questions, anybody have any question how we put this in place or how we can implement it at your place, then feel free. Yeah, the contact details will be there.
Yeah, cool. Great. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yeah, you too, and enjoy the weekend.
Yes, I will.
Sure. All right, cheers, man.
Yeah, bye.
Pleasure.